take time out with our specially curated classical mixtape every day. Listen at 7 p.m. on weekdays on Radio 3 or search on BBC Sounds for Classical Mixtape.
And now in Drama on 3, the British premiere of a new full-length play by Roland Schimmelpfennig. Two groups of 40-somethings look back on the most romantic night of their lives and ask, what happened?
Blackwater by Roland Schimmelpfennig, translated by David Tushingham.
Still, as if untouched, Blackwater. And lying on the water, in the night, the stars.
Close and far away, and still, as if never touched and never will be.
Only a night breeze can make the stars briefly vanish. Ripples on the water, darkness. But then,
when the stars resurface silently from the depths of the black water, one,
two, three, thousands and thousands of them.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven.
They've got names. Pluto, Venus, Uranus, Saturn. Thousands and thousands of names.
There they lie, on the black water, close but untouchable.
Where were you? What is it? Where have you been? What's happened to you?
Come on, the water.
Let's swim.
Into the black water.
Let's swim.
Where were you? What is it? Where have you been?
Come on, let's jump.
Into the black water.
In the distance, the beam of light from the torch of an unsuspecting night watchman. Perhaps he fell asleep on a white plastic chair after his last round.
Let's swim.
Their fingertips.
Their fingertips touched the starry sky, shattering it.
With wide open eyes, the swimmers dive into the blackness.
Their outstretched arms feel for the bottom without reaching it.
Their young bodies glide through the darkness. They glide through the water. Everything is black.
Everything is black. And high above them.
And high above them.
Broken into silvery pieces, on the surface of the water floats the moon.
Broken into silvery pieces, on the surface of the water floats the moon.
As if they could.
As if they could.
Almost grab hold of it.
Almost grab hold of it.
They turn.
They turn. Their hearts beating.
Their lungs full.
Arching their backs, they try to find their way back to the air. Up to the moon and up to the stars.
Back.
Two, three, four heads break the surface.
And 20 years later, around 20 years later, a woman is sitting alone on a bus, like she does almost every day. She's tired, hungry, on the way home from work, and she's thinking about that evening, that night, back then.
And around 20 years later, standing right here by the side of the swimming pool in the dark, is a man, alone. And that man is thinking,
what happened?
What happened?
And around 20 years later...
20 years later, a man aged about 40 is standing in the doorway to his apartment, soaked to the skin.
And his wife asks, what happened?
His wife asks, where were you?
What happened? Where have you been?
The man says, I,
says the man.
But he has no idea how he should finish this sentence.
What's wrong?
What's wrong?
You're completely soaking.
The man says, I met someone.
What happened? the woman on the top deck of the bus thinks, while the vast city glides by on the other side of the window in the darkness. This bus is a ship, she thinks.
A spaceship. We're traveling into the heavens.
The bus is like a ship that sails round the city on waters of tarmac, day after day and night after night, forever on the move.
And then, above the swimmers' heads, in the night, four young men and young women go flying through the stars.
You're soaked to the skin.
What happened?
What happened?
His wife asks, 20 years later.
A hand gesture dismissive, as if to say,
nothing happened.
Or a hand gesture as if to say, this is how they flew. This is how they flew through the stars. Remember? Don't you remember?
Four, or was it five young men and young women fly?
One, two, three, four, five.
Over the swimmers' heads, through the stars, through the night, and plunge into the water.
Thousands of tiny drops fill the air.
Thousands of tiny drops on the way to heaven.
You did what?
I met someone.
You met someone?
Yes.
Yes, the man says. In a few days, he's going to be a government minister.
Have you forgotten about tonight?
Have you forgotten about tonight?
And then she says,
what have you got there?
What have you got there?
Is that blood?
Blood, he says. Frank, green eyes.
Yes. Blood. It could be.
And in his hand, there's a piece of paper. A wet sheet of paper.
Moonlight. Five young men and young women shatter the black of the water.
Thousands of tiny drops on the way to heaven, but falling back down into the darkness.
Hey! Are you mental?
What are you doing here?
We were here first.
So what? Do you think this place here belongs just to you?
A deep breath.
Either it belongs to everyone.
Either this place belongs to everyone.
Or no one.
Or no one, says a young woman. Her name is Layla.
Waves.
Swirling.
In his hand, there's a wet sheet of paper. A letter. In your eyes lies the heaven we dived into that night.
And without you, nothing remains of it.
Hey, are you mental?
What are you doing here?
We were here first.
We were here first, says Freddy. And 20 years later...
Freddy, who in 20 years' time will be one of the top lawyers in this city. That is, and always has been, the city of 1,000 lawyers.
Lawyerstan, or better, Lawyopolis.
And Marat.
Dream on.
Who in 20 years' time will be the owner of a restaurant. And the snack bar, Yildiz Kebabs, where his father used to work for decades.
Snack Barston.
Or better, Snack Baropolis.
Murat, who in 20 years' time will be, among other things, the owner of the snack bar, Yildiz Kebabs, where his father will have worked so long till the old man couldn't go on anymore. Or until the old man won't be able to go on anymore.
Heart problems.
Get out of here. Dream on.
Overweight.
Bad diet.
Murat.
That night in the swimming pool, Murat wants to hit Freddy. We were here first. Freddy, the future lawyer, he really wants to smash his face in.
Two men in swimming trunks about to attack each other.
For a second, the world stands still. They're looking at each other. And they're not looking at each other. As if they're not allowed to look at each other. Though they can see each other.
Murat and Freddy.
And in a moment, their bodies will be wedged into each other. Locked together. And nothing and no one will be able to separate them.
Lawyer Stan.
Lawyeropolis.
Snack bar stand.
Or better, snack baropolis.
A city with two faces, their teeth locked together.
Dream on.
Black water.
A nosebleed.
Is that blood?
Is that blood? His wife asks 20 years later.
A salty taste in his mouth.
A nosebleed.
A nosebleed.
Could be.
He says. Frank. In a few days, he's going to be a government minister. In a few days, he's going to be the youngest interior minister in his country's history. Yes, it could be.
But before then, 20 years earlier, the boys...
And the girls, too.
...go at each other like dogs, locking their teeth together.
Before they kill each other in the black water. Before the swimmers... Freddy.
We got here first.
Murat.
Dream on.
Frank and Layla.
Hey, are you mental?
Kirsten.
Can you hear?
And Aisha. Mehmet.
Shut up.
Ali.
What are you doing here?
Cynthia and Karim.
You shut up.
Before the swimmers come to blows, thrashing around in the water, before they submerge, gurgling and throttling each other, till one of them doesn't come back up again. Till one of them's killed. No moon and no stars on the water anymore. Only black. Only darkness. Darkness. Violence. Hatred. And no future.
Before all that can happen, one girl or one young woman, Layla, says,
either this place belongs to everyone.
Either this place belongs to everyone.
Or no one.
Or no one.
And a blonde young man, Frank, dark blonde and with green eyes, says,
she's right.
He says,
it doesn't matter who was here first.
Frank, who 20 years later, one afternoon in November, when it's already dark and raining, we'll see that woman, that girl, again. Layla, the girl he met that summer night when they'd all secretly climbed over the fence to the swimming pool.
You what?
I met someone. He says, Frank. Frank, who in 20 years' time will be standing in his apartment.
Wet coat, wet suit. With a wet piece of paper in his hand and blood on his face.
On the day, he will have met that girl again. A rainy day in November.
8 heads.
It doesn't matter who was here first.
No, 9 heads.
But keep quiet.
In the black water.
We've got to keep quiet.
Now, almost silent.
Keep quiet.
They're keeping a lookout.
Keep quiet.
Where?
Keep quiet.
Where's?
Keep quiet.
Quiet.
Where is?
Or someone will hear us.
The beam of light from the night watchman's torch.
Maybe he's fallen asleep. Maybe he's already on the phone.
Maybe he's awake. Maybe he's fallen asleep. Maybe he's already on the phone. Police. Burglars. Burglars. Police.
Keep quiet. Keep quiet.
Or the night watchman will wake up because of all our shouting.
Quiet,
says Frank.
And 20 years later, Frank says, soaked to the skin,
I met Layla.
Who?
Layla.
Layla? Who's Layla?
How did you get in here?
How did you get in here?
Same as you. Over the fence.
We climbed over the fence. Same as you, says the girl. Says Layla.
Or can you fly?
Or can you fly?
Says Layla.
No.
19, big mouth, long black hair, dark eyes, dark skin. Gorgeous.
Maybe you have wings.
No, he laughs.
Frank. A spark.
A spark.
Layla? Who's Layla?
And then Layla. Like the others, climbs up out of the pool.
She's got a body that seems to go on forever.
Her body seems to go on forever.
The way that body that seems to go on forever moves. Long. Slim.
A beautiful girl.
What a beautiful girl, he thinks.
Frank.
And 20 years later, he meets her again on a rainy day in November. 20 years older, same as him.
A good-looking boy.
A good-looking boy, she thinks, Leila.
And a blonde girl, Cynthia, almost ginger, a few yards away at the edge of the black water, looks over at them jealously.
Cynthia, who in 20 years' time will have married Frank. Frank with the green eyes.
Cynthia looks over at them jealously.
While they are all now, still a bit out of breath, lying on the warm flagstones beside the swimming pool. Frank, Leila, Cynthia, Freddy, Murat, Mehmet, and Karim, Ollie, Aisha, Kirsten, beautiful bodies, muscles, flat stomachs.
Some of them with tattoos, others without.
We were here first.
Forget it.
Freddy and Murat, who just now came close to killing each other.
Liar Stan, Snack Barapalas, the city, its two faces, its teeth locked together.
But they could also kiss each other.
Freddy and Murat are still keeping their distance.
But the ice is melting.
Red Freddy, as they also call him, or used to, because when he was 17, he read Das Kapital. 20 yards of linen are worth one coat. And then joined the Young Socialists.
Red Freddy, whose father, a judge,
a high court judge,
was so angry about this, so angry his son was a Red, he almost had a heart attack. Red Freddy wouldn't have stood a chance against Murat, or he wouldn't have stood a chance in the water.
But 20 years later, it's different. Or it would be different, because 20 years later, Freddy is the boss of a massive law firm.
Seven secretaries, seven associates, solicitors and clerks, criminal and civil law, the whole works, trainees, interns, offices in a prime location, art on the walls.
And at one point in the future, someone will want to evict Murat. Or, to be more precise, Murat's father. Evict him from the snack bar.
From Murat's father's snack bar, Yildiz Kebabs.
A letter will arrive, delivered by courier. Immediate termination. This will be in 17 years' time. There'll be a grasping landlord and big property developer behind it.
A speculator, like a dragon, rousing from its slumbers because the rents are going up. Or will go up. The rents will go up. In the part of town where Murat's father's snack bar is, Yildiz Kebabs.
In 17 years' time, they'll open boutiques there. In 17 years' time, rich young people will move in, and then those rich young people will have children, and then they'll buy expensive buggies, and they'll ride cargo bikes that cost as much as cars. They'll shop sustainably, with lots of organic produce, and kebabs won't quite be their thing. They'll vote for left-wing parties, and then after a while, they'll vote for right-wing parties. And eventually the area will be practically unrecognizable.
But Freddy and Murat will still know each other from back then.
From that night at the swimming pool. From the summer night when they almost killed each other.
It's a vast city, but sometimes you do run into each other.
And sometimes Freddy still goes and has a kebab at the shop. Adonna, remembering that night.
Hey, Freddy man, how's it going?
Hey, Freddy man, how's it going? Good to see you, says Murat, if he happens to be there that day. Murat is a busy guy.
And Freddy says...
Hey, Murat.
Hey, Murat.
Allah is great.
Allah is great. And they shake hands.
Allah is great, says Freddy, because in the future, Murat has found faith.
Murat prays, and Murat's wife prays, and his children pray too.
And Freddy, no longer quite as red as he used to be, but still on the left, and 20 years older, thinks odd people.
They never quite fitted in.
Nice, but odd.
He's fat now, Morat. Freddy thinks Morat looks slow. Same as his father used to back then. And then Freddy will think back to what Morat looked like back then, that night when they confronted each other. Young, slim, naked, or almost naked, in nothing but trunks.
What happened to all of us?
Freddy will think in around 17 years' time.
But of course, he, the lawyer, helps Morat, the kebab man, out of this mess. In the distant future, he will help him out of this mess in 17 years' time. He'll write letters and he'll win the case. And Morat will be able to keep his shop.
Yildiz kebabs.
Maybe, because that night in the swimming pool, under the stars, Morat didn't break Freddy's nose.
A spark.
A spark.
Layla. Who's Layla?
And then Layla, like the others, climbs up out of the pool.
She's got a body that seems to go on forever.
Her body seems to go on forever.
Cynthia looks over at them jealously.
While they are all now still a bit out of breath, lying on the warm flagstones, Frank, Layla, Cynthia, Freddy, Murat, Mehmet.
Mehmet, who one night in around 20 years' time will come back here alone.
And Karim, Ali, Aisha, Kirsten.
Aisha and Kirsten, who at that moment have no idea that one day one of them will save the other one's life. One of them will find the other one. Pills, letters, paramedics, and then months on a closed ward in a psychiatric hospital.
While they're all still a bit out of breath, lying on the warm flagstones,
they lie there and look at the stars.
We climbed over the fence, same as you,
says Layla.
Same as you, over the fence.
Or have you got connections?
Are you the little brother of the night watchman?
Are you the little brother of the night watchman here?
Or perhaps his son,
Layla whispers to Frank.
The slim, tall Layla, by the edge of the black water, in the night. Layla, who doesn't know that right now she is falling in love with this boy with green eyes, that she will love him madly. That both of them, he and she, will fall very much in love. But that, by the coming autumn, in just a few weeks, it will all be over.
Because he will leave. He'll move to another city.
Go to university, have a career, and she won't be able to go with him. How could she explain that to her parents? And then he will write her letters. For quite a long time.
Letters. Beautiful letters. But they don't go to her at home. The postman delivers them to the Yildiz snack bar, and she collects them from there because he couldn't send the letters to her home.
Anger and tears. The very last time they say goodbye, when she still doesn't know that they won't see each other again for 20 years. Her and Frank.
Where have you been? Your parents!
Your parents, says the woman, says his wife, Cynthia, 20 years later.
Your parents are here. We've been waiting for you for 2 hours. Did you forget about it? Did you forget what day it is today?
And in the man, Frank's hand, the wet piece of paper.
Or have you got connections?
Or have you got connections?
Are you the little brother of the night watchman here?
Or perhaps his son,
Layla whispers to Frank.
This thing with the night watchman is a joke, or an insult, or both. Who wants to be a night watchman's brother, or a night watchman's son? Who wants to come from a whole family of night watchmen?
Your parents are here. Did you forget about that?
My boy.
My boy.
What kept
what
you?
What kept you?
Frank's father will ask 20 years later.
I met someone.
Layla. Oh, Layla.
Yes, I remember her. She was a pretty girl. That's going back a bit. What happened to her?
She works on the checkouts. In a supermarket.
Oh, his father says. In a supermarket. Seems a bit of a waste of her abilities. She was a bright girl.
And then a discussion follows about immigration, the minimum wage, equality of opportunity, and parallel societies, about integration and religions, about fears.
And lying on the water, in the night, the stars close and far away, and still, like they've never been touched and never will.
If I was the Night Watchman's little brother...
If I was the Night Watchman's little brother, Frank whispers to Layla, 20 years earlier, by the edge of the black water.
If I was the Night Watchman's little brother, then maybe you and I would be distantly related.
Tit for tat. Subtle.
That would be something. I am the last, he says.
Says Frank, with the green eyes. Frank, who is the son of a government minister with green eyes, whose father, also with green eyes, was also a government minister, and whose father before him was also a government minister.
An illustration of his family tree, a graphic representation of his ancestry over several centuries, going back to somewhere near Richard the Lionheart, if not all the way back, to Alexander the Great.
The color of his great-grandfather's eyes remains unknown, not least because when he was alive, color photography had yet to be invented.
But probably that great-grandfather's eyes were probably green, green, green.
Frank, the son of a government minister, who is the son of a government minister, who was the son of a government minister.
And this line will go on, of course. They finish school, and ahead of them lies the summer.
And what comes after that?
University.
University. A career. The best university in the country.
Education is everything.
Education is everything, says his father.
Education is everything.
Oh God, says Frank, soaking wet in 20 years' time. My father's 75th birthday.
How could you forget that, she says, his wife Cynthia. Your parents, they're sitting in the lounge, waiting.
We've been waiting for 2 hours.
Tell them I'm ill.
You're not ill, you're wet.
Get changed. A clean shirt, tie, a different suit. You might as well throw that suit away and wash your face. You can't seriously think I can send your parents home now. It's your father's birthday.
This dinner was your idea.
This dinner was your idea, so that we could celebrate the fact that in 3 days' time, you are going to become a minister.
I am the last descendant.
I am the last descendant, Frank whispers to Layla 20 years earlier, on the edge of the black water, on which the stars are lying, close and far away and still, as if they have never been touched and never will be.
I am the last descendant of a long, long, long ancestral line of night watchmen all the way back to Rembrandt.
And I am the great, 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 great granddaughter,
she says, Layla,
of the first, tallest and biggest bearded lifeguard of all time, Kharadin.
Kharadin, also known as Barbarossa, Lord of the Seas.
In my veins flows the water of the Bosphorus and the Golden Horn.
The Golden Horn,
he says.
What a coincidence. They go together. Gold and gold.
Gold and gold.
Because Rembrandt wore a golden helmet.
We should get together.
And have a golden son, who of course one day will become a night watchman or lifeguard.
But Rembrandt never went to Istanbul, she says.
You never know with Rembrandt.
Or with Barbarossa.
Next to the blonde girl, Cynthia, who is looking over at them jealously. A boy or a young man, Karim, says...
What are they talking about?
What are they talking about?
Are they seriously talking about Rembrandt?
Are they seriously talking about Rembrandt?
Says Karim, who's more than good looking, even if he's not necessarily Cynthia's type.
Mediterranean guys are not normally her type.
And Karim is definitely the Mediterranean type. That much is obvious.
Isn't that a toothpaste?
Rembrandt? Isn't that a toothpaste? Says Karim, smiling, propped up on his elbows.
A type of toothpaste?
They're talking about toothpaste. And then Karim says to Cynthia,
you're very beautiful. Did you know that? You see the stars on the water.
A pause. A pause for that to sink in.
Back home, there's a bay, Ulüdeniz. At night there, it's exactly like it is here now.
It's exactly like it is here now.
Only a lot hotter. And the crickets chirp.
And the crickets chirp.
And the sand is
and
warm.
And the sand is warm.
And the waves beat gently on the shore.
And the waves beat gently on the shore.
So actually, the whole place is nothing like this pool here. Not in the slightest.
Cynthia laughs. He, Karim, gets up, his stomach and arms buff, and over his heart, a crescent and star tattoo. And then he says,
but I'm glad I'm here and not there, otherwise I might never have met you.
You've got to get women to laugh. Women need to be persuaded to laugh. You've got to get Cynthia to laugh, and that is not easy. But Karim can do it effortlessly tonight. The stuff about Rembrandt and the toothpaste already hit the spot. Not everyone knows that there's a brand of toothpaste called Rembrandt. Not the painter Rembrandt, but a tooth whitener. It's expensive, like really expensive.
You've got to get women to laugh, and you need to have a car.
Were you born there?
Where?
In Ulüdeniz.
Me? I'm not crazy. Do you know how hot it is there in the summer?
Ulüdeniz. She's remembered the name.
But I'll show you, if you want. I've got a car.
She looks at him, Karim, his chest, stomach and arms buff, and over his heart, a crescent and star tattoo, thick, dark hair and a gentle smile. A gentle, almost boyish smile, and for a moment, for one brief moment, she imagines the two of them in a car with the windows open and the radio on the road for 3 days like in a movie.
And he knows what she's imagining just then.
And many, many years later, 18 or 19 years later, these two will see each other again, Cynthia and Karim, both changed, aged, a little bit fatter, grayer, but they're both still looking good. He recognizes her, but she doesn't recognize him. Or she only recognizes him later. And when she does, she won't let on. It's parents' evening.
I'm glad you could come.
Take a seat, she'll say.
Take a seat.
She, Cynthia, who will become a teacher, the head teacher of a secondary school.
Take a seat, please.
Thank you.
Thank you. He says, who's recognized her instantly. Who smiles because he remembers instantly one night in summer, a long, long time ago. In that summer night, nine young buddies are lying on the warm flagstones around the swimming pool. They chat, laugh quietly.
Frank and Leila.
Murat and Freddy are now talking about football or the Olympics. And Freddy asks if Murat goes to a gym somewhere. And Murat says,
of course!
Of course!
Maybe you should come sometime!
Kirsten, who in 10 years' time will be a dentist, and Aisha, who in 10 years' time will be her receptionist, who one day will be friends for life.
Because Aisha will look after her, will help her. When in 17 years' time, everything in Kirsten's world goes dark. Pills, letters, paramedics, and then months in a psychiatric ward.
When after the late and long-desired birth of Kirsten's son, her life suddenly makes no sense. neither her child nor her marriage to a man who is a very successful orthodontic surgeon. Nor do the teeth, the wide open mouths of all the people from whom she earns her money and who keep her and Aisha and their families afloat. Even if Kirsten will never visit Aisha at home, never, not a single time, because these are alien worlds.
And Ali and Mehmet, stretched right out on the warm flagstones, they're lying on their backs and looking into the sky.
Ali, the only son and heir of an empire of butcher shops.
They call him Porky.
And Mehmet, who in a couple of months will be a baker in his father's business. They call him Hamur, which means something like dough. Mehmet. Mehmet, who always has this rather sad look in his eyes, who will sometimes wonder where all the bread they bake is going to go. White from the flour that will crack his hands, and who will eventually, one day, understand that he's never going to know, and that he'll never be a part of all that, because he'll spend his whole life in the bakery, covered in flour.
They call him Hamur, which means dough.
They're lying on their backs and looking into the sky. Hamur and Ali, also known as Porky.
And Cynthia and Karim.
Karim, who has a soft spot for women. And yes, for cars, with which he'll earn a lot of money later on. He already does now, in all modesty. And he's not even 20 yet.
And Cynthia, who does not know, but perhaps can sense that. One day she will be a head teacher. And Frank's wife, who will carry on working, of course, even when one day he becomes a government minister.
If that's your girlfriend, says Leila to Frank, who is still thinking about Rembrandt and Barbarossa.
If that's your girlfriend.
Leila looks across at the blonde girl, Cynthia, and at Karim.
If that's your girlfriend, then you probably ought to do something.
She's not. And she never has been.
It might yet happen, she says.
I don't think so, he says. And touches her hand for a fraction of a second, as if by chance. A spark or a sudden light, blazing very bright.
Rembrandt, that's the name of the toothpaste that she puts on the conveyor belt, Cynthia.
20 years later.
In a supermarket, Rembrandt, really expensive, followed by the shopping for dinner, except the wine and the fish, which she'll buy later elsewhere. Her father-in-law's birthday, 75, a famous man. And Cynthia does not recognize the woman on the checkout.
And the woman on the checkout does not recognize Cynthia. Doesn't even look up. Just sees the toothpaste. And smiles when she sees the name Rembrandt.
Rembrandt.
Let's swim, Frank says to Leila.
With his golden helmet and golden horn, comes along with his golden torch.
And they both dive into the black water filled with stars. They dive soundlessly into the darkness. They dive together side by side into a world without language, without a past or a future, without Rembrandt and without Barbarossa, without night watchmen and without fences, without backgrounds, bank accounts, their father's professions, education, satellite dishes, Jesus and Muhammad, into a world without lawyers, grasping landlords, snack bars, wholesale bakeries, empires of butcher's shops, and without school grades. They dive into a world where nothing matters but the air in your lungs, where nothing matters but the time you have left to catch your breath.
Until they have to go back to the other end of the pool, back into the world of words and the air, back into the world of the past and the future.
In the moonlit shadow of a tree, he's turned his torch off. The night watchman, the guardian of the fence and the gateway.
He's glad to have got this job.
Because there's always something to watch over.
The night watchman, who earns his nightly bread here, who noticed the young swimmers ages ago. Ages ago.
As soon as they climbed over the fence, 3 meters high. As soon as they ran over the grass and took their clothes off, hidden by the trees.
The night watchman, who ought to come running along now, blowing a whistle, and with the police already on the phone.
In the moonlit shadow of that tree stands the night watchman, who sees this and doesn't chase anyone away. Because tonight, he thinks, is a night in paradise. And we are all God's children.
Slap!
A spark, a flame, the tip of a cigarette.
A fiery red glow and smoke drawn deep into their lungs. Deep in.
And then pushed out again. Out.
Exhaling cigarette smoke. The Roxy Bar.
Everyone smokes here. Several people. 12:30. The hair is still wet. Tequila slammers in the Roxy Bar. Frank, Leila, Karim, and Cynthia. Kirsten, Aisha, Mehmet, Murat, and Ollie, and Freddie.
Slam.
Everyone's drinking. Everyone's smoking.
The Roxy Bar. Black and white tiles on the floor. And on its red walls, signs for Coca-Cola and Pernod. And above them, an old fan. At the bar stands a chubby man with a shaven head. And that shaven head has a light bulb stuck to it. He's an artist. He calls himself Katie.
A little drunk or more buzzy. Ollie, son of a butcher shop empire. Ollie asks, incredulous.
Why have we never seen you here?
Why have we never seen you here?
Where do you live?
Where do you live?
Where do you come from?
Where do you come from?
I live in an oven.
Or that's where I'm going to live, says Mehmet, and smiles.
We come from the other side.
Leila blows the smoke out of her lungs, nodding her head to one side, towards the east.
Which means...
Take the underground.
A trip on the underground.
Or a night bus.
Or on the night bus. Following the smoke from her cigarette, across the river, or under the river, through the tunnel and the underground, and then when the underground comes out of the tunnel and turns into an overground, there, where the houses begin to look like they're covered in soot with black, blue, red bricks.
200 different languages.
And every god you can think of is worshipped here.
Yahweh.
Allah.
Ganesha.
That's where I live.
That's where I live.
That's where we live.
Smoke.
The Roxy Bar.
Salam. Tequila slammers. The glasses slammed down on the table.
20 years later.
Where have you been? They've been waiting for 2 hours.
Who?
Your parents.
My parents?
Have you forgotten?
What?
That your parents are coming tonight.
The man, Frank, green eyes, looks at her in dismay.
What?
It's your father's 75th birthday.
God.
Layla's nod of her head towards the east, 20 years earlier, that means...
We come from the other side.
We come from the other side.
A street on the overground line, number 203, first floor... Open door, a narrow corridor painted green. That's where I live. Down the corridor, the door on the left, that's where my father sits. Long, grey beard. Prayer cap. He prays, when he can, 5 times a day.
The call to prayer.
And outside, the train races past the overground.
Exhale.
Tequila in the Roxy Bar with wet hair.
And Karim and the others, Murat and Aisha, Mehmet, they live 1 or 2 streets further on from here.
All that from the motion the young woman makes with her head, inclining her head to one side, her eyes following the smoke of her cigarettes.
Salam.
My boy.
My boy. The old man, 75. Honors, awards, long service, and distinguished service medals for the fatherland and for Europe. He's united entire countries and divided others.
My boy!
My boy. The old man calls his son.
My boy!
My boy.
Where have you been?
And he's concerned because punctuality
is a virtue and good form in this part of the world.
We were very worried.
I know.
We were very worried.
I got held up.
We almost died with worry, says the mother of the future government minister.
Please excuse me. I apologize.
You're as white as a sheet.
You're shivering,
says his mother, with a questioning look at her daughter-in-law, Cynthia. What's the matter with him? Is he often like this? Is there something we ought to know about? In 3 days' time, he's got a big day ahead of him.
Slam.
And you?
And you.
Where do you come from?
Asks Layla. And he, Frank, the man. Frank makes a gesture in the other direction, towards the west.
That means up the hill and round past the big park, wide streets, junctions, narrow streets, high fences, expensive cars, white townhouses, all the same. Small on the outside, but huge on the inside. And with big yardings.
Did you say...
What does your father do?
Asks Layla.
My father, says Frank.
My boy.
My father works in the Foreign Office.
Oh, says Layla.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
What he doesn't say is that the reason his father works in the Foreign Office is because he is the Foreign Minister. Well, Foreign Ministers do work in the Foreign Office.
In the Foreign Office.
And at the same time, in the Roxy Bar, Kirsten and Aisha and Mehmet get involved in a discussion about God.
What is God?
What is God?
And where does he live?
And where does he live?
And why does he allow it that?
And why does he allow it that?
Because there can only be one true faith.
No, there can't. That's precisely where we're going wrong.
God is eternal.
God is eternal.
That's all I can say,
says Aisha.
God is eternal.
Mehmet smiles. Nothing is eternal.
Everything will fall apart eventually.
Ollie's eyes spot the sign on the wall.
Coca-Cola. And then he says...
Nothing is eternal. Coca-Cola, look!
Coca-Cola, look. There it says Coca-Cola. Might that...
No longer exist?
What will no longer exist? Roxy Bar?
The Roxy Bar will cease to exist faster than you can count to three. But Coca-Cola...
Coca-Cola is eternal.
Coca-Cola is eternal.
Imagine that. You can't envisage it happening. But even Coca-Cola will fade away.
Even Coca-Cola is subject to the law of entropy.
Coca-Cola is a white giant. A supernova. There's already Diet Coke and Cherry Cola and Cola Vanilla and Coca-Cola Zero and Coca-Cola, the one in the red can. The only true Coca-Cola is just one drink among many. Not even mentioning Pepsi Cola and all the other false expositors. Charlatans. And one day, all that will no longer exist. What will be left, however, is the word of all words. Drink. Drink and enjoy.
If we could pause time.
If we could wind time forward. If we could see what everything will be like in 20 years.
Until someone comes and destroys time.
And who's that meant to be? Your destroyer of time.
A few kilometers away from there, the night watchman, alone by the edge of the Blackwater, looks up towards the night sky and wonders what the Creator wrote in heaven. Whereabouts in everything up there, the writing is hidden. That is the key to decoding the hidden message in this never-ending sea of stars. Salam.
This stuff's disgusting.
Disgusting, she says. And then she laughs.
Come on, let's drink something else.
Come on, let's drink something else.
Raku.
Let's have some raku.
But let's eat first.
But let's eat first.
We need something to eat first.
We need something to eat first, says Murat.
We're hungry. Ravenous, suddenly.
A change of scene.
I'm sorry,
says Frank.
The old man, his father, a former government minister, foreign minister, who praises the fish
delicious
that his daughter-in-law has cooked. 20 years later,
practically no fat at all,
practically no fat at all, tells a story about how the president of one country
arrived late
somewhere, which meant that the president of the other country
had to wait.
And then threatened to leave.
In front of the whole press pack.
Of course, the photos were seen all around the world of him standing there, waiting.
World War III almost broke out. The old man laughs.
And then we gave the president
of the first country a watch. He laughs. But not just any watch. It was this plastic thing.
Casio.
Or something like that. Cheap rubbish. It was an insult, of course. But he understood.
He understood.
And he got his own back. Just 1 month later, he used his own money to donate a sundial.
It's still there today.
In the garden of the National Gallery.
May the time of friendship between our peoples never go dark. And may it never run out of electricity.
He laughs. They all laugh. Him, his wife, and Cynthia, and Frank. They've all heard this story 1,000 times before.
A change of scene. Out of the Roxy Bar.
Air!
Fresh air!
And then, a trip on the underground until it turns into the overground. 10 stops, and then a short stretch on foot.
Ravenous. Wolf hungry.
We're almost there.
Says Murat.
Turkish music. A snack bar.
Yıldız kebabs.
Baba Jim, we're hungry, shouts Murat.
And these are our new friends.
This is Freddy. And these are Ollie, Kirsten, Ollie, Cynthia, Kirsten, and Frank.
You know everyone else.
This is my new friend, Freddy. And then he puts his hand on his shoulder. Leila, Kareem, Aisha, Mehmet, don't look like that.
We are happy today.
Hoş geldiniz.
Says Murat's father behind the counter and wipes his hand on his apron. Hoş geldiniz. Welcome to...
Yıldız Kebabs.
Yıldız. Doesn't that mean star?
Says Frank.
Yıldız means star.
Man!
I don't believe it. He can speak Turkish.
Where do you know Turkish from?
It's a word I learned on holiday.
Kebabs for everyone. In flatbread, with tomatoes and salad and onions and with white sauce.
Or do you prefer a hot?
None sauce on mine.
No sauce? The sauce is the best bit.
Extra sauce for me, please.
Hungry.
Cynthia sits next to Karim. Leila is sitting beside Frank. Freddy and Murat. Kirsten is talking to Aisha. And Ali,
Porky!
Son of a butcher's shop empire, is making plans with Mehmet, who's also called Hamur, or Dough. One day, or rather, soon to be a baker. Actually, he already is one for all kinds of restaurant chains. Meat got no future. The meat of the future will be made of flour. Believe me, made out of wheat. We've got to team up.
Together, we're stronger. It's the only way we'll
and
survive.
And it's the only way we'll survive.
Everyone knows that.
Everyone knows that.
The food was delicious,
Frank's mother says to Cynthia. Now she's drinking gin.
Thanks.
And unlike other people, she likes to drink her gin neat.
They drink rakı. Yeni rakı.
Superb. Excellent.
Where do you get your fish? Finding good fish really is a problem in this country. There's a shortage, even though we see enough of the sea.
Round the corner from here.
We see more than enough of the sea.
And someone in Yıldız Kebabs, either Ali or Freddy or Kirsten, says...
The last time I was in this part of town...
I don't know how long ago.
I don't think I've ever been here.
Why not?
Says Murat's father.
It's nice here.
I'm telling you, one day everyone will want to live here.
Everyone.
Everyone will want to live here. And Freddy, with a raku in his hand, says,
"You and us, we live in parallel worlds here. The state has failed entirely."
The state has failed entirely. That's how it is. We live in parallel worlds.
But, says Ollie, the pragmatist, the butcher's son, Porky, tonight a visionary, a metaphysician.
There's just one world and there's just one market.
There's only one world and there's only one market.
No one imagined he could come up with this idea.
And that means we live in...
He, Ollie, makes an effort to find the right word.
Layla says...
We live in one world.
We live in one world.
But the world we live in has two sides.
Hybrid.
Hybrid, someone says. A hybrid world.
What does hybrid mean? Is that a car or something?
What does hybrid mean? Says Karim. And Cynthia laughs.
Not for the first time tonight.
Karim makes Cynthia laugh. And sometimes he briefly touches her white skin. He'll think of that skin in 20 years' time while he's sitting facing Cynthia, the head teacher.
Take a seat.
At parents' evening.
Thank you.
I'm glad you could come.
We live in a society with two faces.
Frank says.
Two faces, says Freddy.
Like Janus or a chimera.
Raku.
Our society
has way more than two faces.
Says Freddy. And he laughs rather too bitterly for his age.
Ollie is now battling with the slot machine in the corner.
He says,
"You need a degree.
You need a degree to understand this thing. Or a professional qualification. Help! Help!"
Mehmet, my friend.
Mehmet, my friend with the sad look on his face.
Come here and rescue me.
Come and rescue me.
And then he says, out of the blue,
You know something? You know what I'd really like to be?
I'd like to be...
A writer.
A poet, ideally.
I'd like to be able to write poems.
But all I can do is add up. Honestly, I'm already adding up the tons of meat that need processing. Can't someone rescue me?
But my friend, come here and rescue me.
Can't someone rescue me?
Education. Education is everything, says Frank. That's what Frank's father always says, who works in the foreign ministry. And that's where the state is failing completely, says Freddy.
And Murat's father, the kebab man, doesn't understand any of it, or only a little. He says...
Do you know what time it is? What will your father say, Aisha?
And your papa, Layla?
He won't say anything. I'm sleeping at Layla's tonight.
He shakes his head.
Murat's father shakes his head.
A perfect plan.
Baba, says Murat.
Baba, tomorrow is Sunday. Didn't anyone tell you?
And we're all adults.
And Frank asks Layla, what are you planning to do? Are you going to university too?
Ah, says his father. Frank's father. 20 years later. I remember.
Layla, I remember.
The old man remembers everything. Doesn't forget a face or a name, ever. Not like Cynthia, who will have entirely forgotten the night at the swimming pool and in the Roxy Bar and at Yildiz Kebabs.
And until that night, 20 years later, had no idea that Frank and Layla, that Layla, the girl with the big mouth, met Frank's parents at his house a couple of days after the night at the swimming pool for tea.
Layla, yes.
The old man takes another drink. Unlike his wife, he's not a gin drinker. He drinks malt whiskey.
The plates are cleared away. They're sitting in the library. There's a fire in the wood burner. And he remembers that girl.
A guest arbiter child. Well-mannered. A little shy.
People used to say that then. Sometimes. Gastarbeiter?
We certainly did not.
Somehow people got the idea that one day these guests would leave again. Never mind, anyway. The girl who sat with them on the sofa one afternoon 20 years ago, having tea.
A pretty girl, bright and unusual. How nice.
That's what I love about this city.
What I love about this city.
Stretching as far as the horizon in every direction. Where every language in the world is spoken, where there is nothing that doesn't exist. Every god you can think of lives here. Every single god,
And every single prophet has someone worshipping them. All the hopes, the plans, changes, all the people, people of every single color, are here in this city.
A city full of surprises and opportunities.
Layla, how is she? What happened to her?
She had a child, I think. She says she's working in a supermarket.
God, you're bleeding.
What?
A nosebleed. Frank's nose starts bleeding again.
My boy, a nosebleed. My boy. Well, that better not happen in 3 days' time at your swearing in.
It's raining. Rush hour traffic. End of November. It's dark. Rain in the headlights of cars. White stripes. Scratches on the surface of the night. Black water in the gutters. The traffic advances torturously, stopping and starting. The underground has broken down. There are no taxis anywhere. And on the pavement, people with briefcases and with shopping bags on their way home.
The windows of the expensive shops, luxury displays, furniture, textiles, lighting, but also the odd greengrocers. Because, after all, people have got to eat.
Outside the windows of a dry cleaner's, a woman and a man almost bang into each other. He has a trench coat, suit, and briefcase.
And she's wearing a red ski jacket. Drenched. Not quite the right thing for this weather. And carrying two supermarket bags.
Hey.
What?
She doesn't recognize him. Or rather, she hadn't looked. She hadn't seen his face.
Layla.
Frank.
I didn't see you. I was looking at the pavement. I'm completely drenched.
The rain, the streets, the water in the gutter, people with umbrellas hurrying past, the fluorescent lighting spilling out of the windows of the dry cleaners onto the streets, onto the two people outside the window in the rain.
What a coincidence.
Yes.
What a coincidence.
What are you doing?
I'm on my way home. I've just come from work. And you, what are you doing here?
I'm here now at the ministry. Starting next week.
In 3 days' time, to be precise.
I'm going to be...
He makes a gesture in the direction of the ministry, a couple of streets away.
Oh, yes. I heard about that.
You did?
Yes, sir. Word gets around. It's...
She laughs a little. Yeah.
It's quite something.
What?
Someone you know becoming a government minister.
Yes. A minister.
Sometimes I'd rather be a night watchman. And what about you?
He laughs.
Well,
I'm
not going to be a minister.
Who knows? It might yet happen.
Yes.
What do you do?
I work here.
Here? Well, it's a good area.
I work in the supermarket over there, by...
That supermarket over there? Well, that's where...
She interrupts him.
How about your parents?
They're good. All good. I'm proud, of course. And your parents? How are your parents doing?
My parents are dead.
My parents died. My mother died. And then my father went back home.
And then he died too.
I'm sorry about that.
She always wanted to go back home.
Yes, I know.
She was homesick. She didn't want to die here, and then...
Frank remembers an afternoon 20 years ago. An afternoon he went to her home, Layla's and her parents. A few days after that night at the swimming pool.
A green corridor.
I'd like you to meet my parents.
She takes his hand. She kisses him. A green corridor. A small living room. A cheap three-piece suite. Everything's cheap.
A chandelier.
Everything's cheap. Except the chandelier.
And outside the window, a satellite dish.
Everything's cheap, except the chandelier and the satellite dish. Outside the window, father, mother, daughter, and the young man, Frank, 20 years ago. They're drinking tea.
But the tea tastes different from home. Strong, rather bitter, served in small glasses. The father, a suit, a beard, a prayer cap, looks older than he really is, a lot older. He says nothing, The mother, too fat, also says nothing, but smiles. Headscarf. The daughter looks very different from the night recently.
How long have you lived here? In this country?
How long? How long have you lived here? In this country? The young man asks. Frank, polite, well brought up. And the old man, who can't be as old as he looks, is not sure whether he has understood the question. He checks.
Tamolorek nedidi?
His daughter translates.
He asks, how long you've been living here?
22 years.
22 years.
The father says.
Longer than I have.
Says the young man, smiling.
A joke.
The daughter smiles.
At first, her father doesn't understand what the boy means. His daughter translates.
Ah, right. He nods. He doesn't laugh, but has now understood that it was well meant, or funny, perhaps.
It's a good country.
It's a good country, he says.
A good country.
A good country.
And good work.
Good work.
But you don't miss your homeland.
Oh, yes. Our homeland. Our family.
This man, Layla's father, came from Anatolia. And Anatolia is far from here. Far, far away.
The snack bar. Yıldız Kebabs.
Our society has two heads.
Our society has two heads, says Frank. In the snack bar.
20 years before he meets Layla by chance, in the street in November, in the rain.
Two heads!
But what?
But what?
Says the kebab man, Murat's father, who has sat down with them.
Kick off a birbirine person, olur?
What if the two heads kiss?
They bite into the bread, the meat, the white cabbage, the salad and the tomatoes. The sauce runs over their fingers.
Like Janus. Or a chimera.
A chimera.
A chimera?
A chimera? What is that? A chimera?
It's Greek. It's a Greek monster. It's a creature with two heads.
An interjection from Ali, the metaphysician. According to biology, no living creature exists with two heads. Multi-headed organisms are called states.
Can you speak Greek?
How many languages do you speak?
Ancient Greek.
Ancient Greek?
A language no one speaks now.
Why do you know a language no one speaks now?
So I know what the monster's called.
So I know what the monster's called.
And the monster is called a chimera. And what can you do?
What can you do?
There's nothing I can do to change it.
There's nothing I can do to change it.
Even if I had two heads myself.
Laughter. They all laugh, and Murat laughs loudest of them all.
Freddy doesn't say, this is what we do in our family. Latin and ancient Greek at school, as well as German, French, and English. Then a law degree, while also studying history or economics. It's hardcore, he just says.
Ancient Greek, that means learning, learning, learning.
Learning, learning, learning. But no, it's the summer.
A break. Chewing. Cola. Raku.
So, what good does that do you? Why do you want to know what the monster's called?
Education. Frank doesn't say this. Education will open up pretty much any door in this part of the world.
You're right.
You're right,
says Freddy. We don't need any dead languages. We need a new language, says Freddy.
Yeah, well, have fun.
Yeah, well, have fun.
Languages we've got are enough for me,
says Ollie. The languages we've got are enough for me. I am the heir of a sausage empire and a writer who hasn't got a hope. Stranded on a fruit machine and overweight in anybody's language. And the others laugh.
A short pause.
You're looking good.
You're looking good,
says Frank, 20 years later. In the street, in the rain, it's already dark.
You think so? I don't.
It's raining. The cars, the traffic, the people, the light coming from the dry cleaners.
Well.
A short pause. Time to go.
Murat's father is slowly shutting up the snack bar.
The commercial property that Freddy will have quite a bit to do with in 17 years' time.
letter to the counterparty, or their lawyers. Dear colleagues, etc., with reference to your letter, threatening to countersue with kind regards from the paragraph jungle. It could get very expensive for them.
Morat, believe me, will break their snooty concrete noses.
Petitions to the court, submitted in due time by courier.
Anytime you need help, Morat, you come to me. Whatever it is. Honestly. No, really, honestly. I consider it an honour.
A short pause.
Time to move on!
Let's go!
Yes, let's go!
The night is young. Let's move on.
But where?
I know where. Come with me.
Okay.
A short pause.
And then, Layla, 20 years later, in the street, suddenly starts to cry.
What's the matter?
She's crying.
What's wrong? What's the matter?
She's crying so much. This tall, still slim woman.
20 years later, working on a supermarket checkout, 8 hours a day.
She can't feel her legs anymore. She sinks down to her knees in the street, weeping.
Rain, black water running down the gutter.
Come on, I'll take you home.
Raindrops in the headlights of cars, standing traffic.
The man helps the woman back to her feet. Frank and Layla, in the light from the dry cleaner's window. She can't stop crying.
A change of scene.
I know where.
I know where, says Cynthia. Come with me, and then they get the night bus. The night bus. The double-decker night bus in the big city.
And everyone sitting upstairs. Frank and Layla, Karim, Cynthia, Freddie, Mehmet, Doe, Kirsten, Aisha, and Porky, Ollie.
Where are we going?
Where are we going?
This bus is a ship.
This bus is a ship,
says Aisha.
A spaceship.
We're traveling into the heavens.
All the windows on the bus are open. The wind of the summer night in their hair.
Like a ship, says Aisha.
And as she says this, to his and to her own surprise, she lays her head on Ollie's shoulder. Ollie, known as Porky, who possibly deserved a rather nicer name, who perhaps could have become a poet if he wasn't the son of a butcher's empire, because now, he says...
The bus is a ship that sails round the city on waters of tarmac, day after day and night, forever on the move.
The shops at night, Indian, Turkish, Vietnamese food, clothing alterations, greengrocer stands, open 24 hours a day, vacant lots in the darkness, black and burnt out house.
Look, that house.
That was in the news recently.
Yes, it was in the news.
Someone remembers.
Not everyone
got out alive. Some children died in there.
Awful. Awful.
The shops race past the buildings, petrol stations, billboards, banks, newsagents. Above them, the tracks of the overground. The bus drives past Layla's house.
Where are we going?
Yes, where are we heading?
Number 203, first floor. The windows all dark. But her father will get up soon. He has to go to work, even though it's Sunday.
I'll take you home,
Frank says, 20 years later, to the woman crying in the street.
Where do you live?
What's wrong?
But she... Layla, there in the street, can't see a word.
The underground has broken down. The traffic's at a standstill. Nothing is moving. There are no taxis anywhere.
Taxi!
Taxi.
And it's raining. It's tipping it down.
Where do you live? I'll take you home.
The bus travels through the night. It crosses the river. The couple.
Frank and Layla in the rain, 20 years later. They cross the river on foot. Black water passing beneath them. Immense, dull, terrifyingly strong. Slow.
And uncommunicative. The bus traverses seas of lights, crossroads, squares, leaving behind monuments, obelisks, triumphal arches, government departments, palaces, cathedrals, and the parliament, shopping streets and residential districts.
Number 203. Just by the overground.
Do you still live here?
Do you still live in your old flat?
Do you still live in your old flat?
Still do. Yes.
They're outside the building.
Come. I'll walk you upstairs.
And then the bus, the ship, reaches the hill on the edge of the city. This bus is a ship. This bus is a ship.
The Heath, the place is called.
I've never been here.
End of the line. A hill.
The night, the stars, Venus, Pluto, thousands of names, thousands and thousands of them.
The Heath.
The rise. The Heath.
And below them lies the city, vast, never-ending, which they now look down on from above. Frank and Leila, Karim and Cynthia, Mehmet and Kirsten, Murat, Aisha and Ali, and Freddie.
The city, the lights, the hopes, the plans, the disappointments, changes.
All the changes that are bigger than we are. All the people that live in this city of every single color, speaking every single language.
And lit up in the moonlight behind them lies the Heath, silvery, unreal, in this unusually warm night. Soon the sun will rise in 1 or 2 hours, and then everything will be different. Everything.
I am so afraid.
So afraid, Kirsten, a dentist, will say in around 15 or 20 years' time to Aisha, shaking on the way to the hospital.
I can't go on like
this. I can't go on like this.
I want to die.
I want to die.
I can't go on like this.
And then the medication kicks in. Benzodiazepine.
You remember?
You remember?
You remember. Do you remember that time? Soon the sun will rise in 1 or 2 hours. And then everything will be different.
I'll take you up there,
Frank says to the crying Leila.
I'll take you upstairs.
Upstairs.
Yes. Yes, of course I will.
Yes. Yes, of course I will, says Frank. Outside Leila's house, 20 years later, number 203, by the overground.
Come on, let's go.
Cynthia takes Karim by the hand.
Come on, she says.
The young people.
Come on, let's go.
The night swimmers.
Come on, let's go.
Lose themselves on the Heath.
Let's go.
In couples and in groups.
Come on.
They call out to each other.
We'll see you at sunrise.
In the night.
See you. We'll see you at sunrise.
Up the stairs. The first floor.
Give me your keys. Come on, I'll help you.
The door opens. The door closes. The green corridor. It's all the same as it was then. Nothing's changed here, he thinks. Frank, with the green eyes.
Why not?
Why ever not, thinks Cynthia.
Like everyone, she's had a few drinks. She feels good, so light, as if she's swimming.
And she's never going to see this boy, or this young man, Karim, again.
I will never see this boy,
she thinks, while his fingers, Karim's skillful fingers, are undoing her bra beneath a tree.
Your skin
is so white and shining, as white as the moon, he says, Karim.
She is as white as the moon, and he thinks it really is as if his fingertips are touching a different planet.
She says,
oh, enough talk.
So he stops talking.
And 20 years later, Karim will remember all that, smiling while he sits facing Cynthia. Now a head teacher at parents' evening. I'm glad you could come. Please.
Take a seat.
Take a seat, she will say.
Ollie and Aisha on the Heath, now arm in arm.
Aisha is shy. And Ollie.
Ollie is a bit fat.
Yes, Ollie is a bit fat, she thinks. But Ollie is gentle, unsure of himself, and he's actually a writer. She thinks, what would my father say? But she likes Ollie, and she would never call him what the others call him.
And eventually, Ollie manages to kiss her.
No more than that.
But also no less. It's the first time she's kissed a boy. And Ollie? Ollie will never forget tonight, even if they don't see each other again for far too many years. Because she was afraid, and so was he.
And later, she will often sit upstairs on the bus almost every day, often even in the same seat on the way to work early in the morning, very, very early, and then going back again in the evening. And one day, there, in front of her, on the back of one of the plastic seats, two rows in front of her, something has been written, scribbled down with a water-resistant pen, or even carved into the plastic with a knife, so that it can never simply be wiped away with alcohol or chemicals. It says,
"The bus is a ship.
The bus is a ship.
That sails round the city.
That sails round the city.
On waters of tarmac.
On waters of tarmac.
Day after day.
Day after day.
And night after night.
And night after night.
Forever on the move.
Forever on the move." It says,
"Aisha.
Aisha.
Call me. I know it's a long time ago. And you know something? I've not become a writer. I'm sorry to say, I really haven't. I would even say quite the opposite. Here's my number."
Frank and Layla run across the heat together, but not hand in hand. Not yet.
They leave the city behind them.
See you.
See you at sunrise.
At sunrise.
The young people shout out to each other.
"Where are you?" thinks the night watchman.
"Where are they?" thinks Morat's father, breathing heavily in bed. Dead tired.
And Kirsten and Mehmet, in a few years they will be a dentist and a baker. And Freddy and Murat sit on a bench and wait for the dawn and drink more raku, because Murat has bought the bottle with him from his father's snack bar. "Thanks, Papa. I'll put the money back.
I'll put the money back in the till tomorrow, I promise. But tonight..."
And then Kirsten and Mehmet, who have hardly exchanged a word with each other so far tonight, start kissing. They kiss and kiss and kiss some more. But after tonight, they will never see each other again. And one night, in around 20 years' time, then Mehmet will climb over the fence of the swimming pool alone. He will stand by the edge of the pool and think, what happened?
What did happen?
What did happen?
And Freddy, who in 20 years' time will be one of the top lawyers in the city that is glowing beneath them, is waiting for the dawn, just like them. Freddy and Murat keep on drinking.
"Rak. Hey, Murat."
And he puts his hand on Murat's shoulder.
"Hey, Freddy. If I only had two heads."
"If only I had two heads, you know? But I'm not like that."
"Yeah."
"Yeah, I know."
"Seni seviyorum. That's how you say it."
"That's how you say it," says Layla. And then he holds her in his arms, Frank with the green eyes, and she holds him at last. Although just a few hours ago this seemed unimaginable, that they would be holding each other. A few hours ago, in the black water, they didn't even know each other's names.
Frank and Layla, they're lying in the grass. He looks at her. He looks into her eyes.
"Wait,"
says Layla, 20 years later, in the entrance hall, in the green painted corridor.
There, on the heat, above the city, he, Frank, holds Layla in his arms, without knowing what will become of them.
And 20 years later, she says, wait. He's standing in the entrance hall. She disappears into one of the rooms. He waits for her. There are photos on the wall of her parents, her father, mustache, suit, and her mother, too fat, smiling, a headscarf. Dead, both of them. Photos of Layla. On one photo, he recognizes Aisha and Murat and Mehmet and Karim.
And on one photo, he sees a boy, or a young man, who looks like he does, or who almost looks like he does. Dark blonde with green eyes.
Is that me?
A nosebleed.
Green-eyed Frank, who's going to be a government minister in a few days, all of a sudden has a nosebleed.
A nosebleed.
Is that me?
It's my son.
They kiss. They make love. They dive together into a world without language, without a past, into a world where nothing matters except the air in your lungs, where nothing matters except the time you have left to catch your breath.
And then later, he will write to her, in your eyes lies heaven.
Here, says Layla, in the green entrance hall. She has taken off her wet things. She is standing almost naked in front of him in the corridor. An almost naked woman.
She hands him a sheet of paper.
Who would write something like that to you?
His wife, Cynthia, will ask in 20 years' time, after she sees the wet paper in his hand, the ink smudged.
Who wrote that to you?
He wrote it himself, the man thinks.
Layla gives him the piece of paper.
I've wanted to return this to you for a long time.
And then he, Frank, is standing downstairs outside the house. Number 203, in the rain. The underground, which turns into an overground here, isn't running. And there are no taxis anywhere.
In your eyes lies the heaven we dived into that night. And without you, nothing remains of it. And without you, nothing will remain of it. Nothing but darkness. Nothing will remain but darkness. Blackwater was written by Roland Schimmelfennig and translated by David Tushingham. The chorus was performed by Shaiko Amos, Chloe Summer, Amanda Bright, Joshua Riley, Razak Osman, and Kevin Cornwall.
Kirsten was played by Chloe Summer, Cynthia by Amanda Bright, Ollie by Jack Bentz, Freddie by Razak Osman, Frank by Joshua Riley, and Mehmet by Attila Akinji. Layla was played by Denusia Samal. Murat was Omar Cemcultu. Aisha was Ada Boker. And Karim Hemi Yarham.
Frank's father was played by John Peters, and his mother by Abigail McKern. Murat's father was played by Jem Kai Olsen. Layla's father by Nej Adamson.
The music was composed by Simon Slater, with sound design by David Thomas. Blackwater was directed by Jonathan Banatvala, and the play was produced by Jonathan Banatvala and Melanie Nock.
It was an international arts production for BBC Radio 3.
In a moment, Hannah French offers you a chance to hear at greater length the recordings reviewed and discussed in yesterday's Record Review, including the recommended version of the Building a Library work, Smetana's opera, The Bartered Bride, in Record Review Extra.
Why is it called a smart speaker? Because it's smart. You ask it to do something, and it'll be done. Just say, smart speaker, ask BBC Sounds to play your favourite music mix.
Oh, that's nice.
Or you can say, ask BBC Sounds to play that brand new podcast.
Ooh.
and you can even ask BBC Sounds to pause, rewind and restart live radio on your smart speaker. If only everything in life is that simple. For music, radio and podcasts on most smart speakers, just say, smart speaker, ask BBC Sounds.
Well, later tonight, we're going Deptford Market, a slow radio piece composed from the sounds, the music, the barking and snatches of conversation and street preaching recorded through the day and along the length of Deptford Market in South London, punctuated by bursts of a song inspired by the place. Grab a bargain later on tonight at 11:30. But first at 9 o'clock, time to join Hannah French for more music from the recordings featured by Andrew McGregor on yesterday morning's Record Review programme.
Hello, good evening. Welcome to Record Review Extra. Tonight, we start, as we mean to go on, with the overture to Smetana's opera, The Bartered Bride. Thank you.